Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Anything Goes. I'm Emma Chamberlain, your host. I hope you're having a gorgeous day. I just got back from vacation and I really am struggling to return to everyday life right now. Sometimes I get back from vacation and I am revved up. I have a newfound passion for day-to-day life after vacation. I feel excited to do my chores. I feel excited to cook. I feel excited to clean. I feel excited to work. I feel excited to do everything. And then sometimes I get back from vacation and I still feel like I'm on vacation mentally, and I just can't get back into the swing of things. That's kind of how I feel right now. The thought of doing anything remotely productive or useful with my time is a nightmare to me right now. I still feel like I'm on vacation in my brain. So that's where I'm at, but I'll figure it out. I just felt the need to update you on my current mental state. I'm on vacation mode, but I am not on vacation anymore. It is unfortunate. Hopefully I can figure this out. My kitchen is a mess. There's dishes all in the sink. My countertop is not wiped down. I've been in bed all day. I haven't even been being productive in my bed. I've been watching YouTube videos all day. I didn't even open my book. I didn't even try to read my book today. Like, today was just not a productive day because I am still on vacation mode, okay? Whatever, I'll snap out of it. Anyway, that's what's going on with me. Anyway, I hope you're having a great day. What are we talking about today? Let me tell you. Today we're talking about a concept that came to me recently because it's something that I've experienced and it's something that I continue to experience, but also because I have seen it happen to other people and I've observed it happen. I've seen it happen to other people. And I think it's a really interesting concept, and I just wanted to have a conversation about it with you today. So that's what we're gonna motherfucking do.
This episode is presented by Häagen-Dazs. It's love at first bite with the new Häagen-Dazs Dulce de Leche Bar, featuring rich caramel dulce de leche ice cream, swirled with thick, milky dulce de leche ribbons and dipped in milk chocolate. Indulgent? Yes. The perfect way to treat yourself? Absolutely. Find at retailers nationwide. That's Dawes. This episode is brought to you by Bumble. When you want someone compatible, start the search on Bumble. It has the features you need to find exactly what you're looking for, like a 6-foot Aquarius who likes rock climbing and also wants kids, or a runner with a penchant for poetry who loves dogs and wants a serious connection. We know you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Download Bumble today. This episode is brought to you by Walmart. I love the springtime. It's a great chance to refresh your wardrobe, home, or beauty routine. And you know what? I think you'll find Walmart has some great style finds that won't break the bank. If you want to upgrade your style, they've got clothes. If you want to upgrade your home decor, pick up some fresh new pieces. You can upgrade everything from your fit to your furniture in-store or shop it all on the Walmart app. Shop the latest spring styles at walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending. Now trending, your style at Walmart.
The concept is that success kills creativity. Success ruins creativity. Let's use this scenario as an example. You find a band, they're a small band. They have maybe a few thousand fans. Maybe they play little shows here and there. Not a lot of people know them. You know, it's like one of those bands that you bring up to your friends and you say, you definitely haven't heard of them. Okay? And they're making badass music. Like, it is just killer. It is so good. And you're thinking to yourself, how have they not blown up yet? How have they not blown up yet? Okay, fast forward a year later, everybody knows this band. They're huge, mega popular. All your friends are listening to them. kids at your school are wearing their merch, they're popping off. Then all of a sudden, they put out a new song. You listen to it, you hate it. You're like, this is not the band that I fell in love with. They suck now. What happened? One more example. You watch a TV show. You watch the whole season of the TV show, all episodes. It's amazing. The first season was amazing. If somebody asked you what you'd have to rate it, you would say a 10 out of 10. That is a great TV show. I would recommend it to my friends and family. I love it. The show blows up. It gets extremely successful. It's trending on Twitter. The whole world is watching this show. They love it. It is the talk of the fucking town, this show, this TV show. Everybody is biting their fingernails waiting for season two. Season two comes out. It sucks ass. Everybody's pissed. Everybody's disappointed. Everybody's asking what happened. I think that this is something that happens a lot. And I don't think a lot of people talk about why it happens. But as somebody who creates things, in a sense, podcast episodes, YouTube videos, you know, stuff like that, I've experienced this myself. And so I kind of feel like I have a more empathetic, maybe, view on this type of situation. I think what it really comes down to is how humans are wired and how creativity works, right? First, let's look at how creativity works. How does it work? In my opinion and in my experience, creativity happens when there's no boundaries, there's no pressure, there's no constraints, there's no rules. That's when creativity happens, when you feel free in a sense. And that sounds so corny, but it's really actually fucking true. I'm sorry. But when there's nothing to lose and everything is lighthearted and fun, creativity flows. I feel like I get the best ideas when I don't need to be coming up with ideas. The second I need to come up with an idea for something, I am the least creative. I can't come up with shit. But when I'm just walking around enjoying a summer day, grabbing a coffee, that's when my ideas come to me, because there's no pressure. There's no rush. There's no pressure whatsoever. That's when creativity happens. So that's the first thing we need to understand and remember, is that creativity just simply does not happen or flow under pressure-filled circumstances, under rushed circumstances, under constrained circumstances. Creativity happens when you have freedom, in a sense, okay? That's why the tiny little indie band you found was so good when you found them. Because when they created their first song, their first album, whatever it may be, they had no pressure. They had no rules, right? They could just create freely because they had nothing to lose. They had never created anything before. If it failed, it didn't really matter because they didn't lose anything. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with the TV show I'm talking about. If the TV show didn't end up doing well, it's a bummer, but whatever. It's the first season and we just won't ever make a season again. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we'll just try again next time. Whatever. No pressure. It's as simple as this. Once you succeed, all of these variables come in that make creativity die. Let's say, for example, the TV show. The first season was created by a small team of people, maybe had a small team of actors, maybe had a minimal budget to create the show. And, you know, they just did the best that they could with what they had. And they just had fun with it, right? So the show was incredible because everything just fell into place. Well, now Netflix wants to buy the next season and wants to put $10 million into the budget and wants to bring on 10 executives to oversee the project. And they want to up the production value and shoot with 10 different camera angles per shot. And all of a sudden, now there's this pressure to create a perfect season two because Netflix has invested all this money into it. The fans are expecting an amazing season two because season one was so great. The pressure and stress of that is enough to make a human simply shut down. So all of the actors are going to be freaking out, feeling like they have to make every shot the best performance of their life. The director is freaking out because he's like, holy shit, I need to make this even better than the last season. The writers are freaking out because they're like, we have to write a whole new season now that's better than the last season. Holy shit. Everybody's freaking out. Now what? That's why the season two sucked, because now there's all this pressure to exceed expectations, to outdo yourself, to continue to create at the same standard. This pressure is excruciating. And I've actually experienced this myself. Recently, I recorded a podcast episode that I was really, really proud of. I really loved it. And I put it out like a day after I recorded it, I think. And people responded so well to it. You guys, technically, responded really well to it. Everybody really connected with it. I was so proud of it. And for context, I'm never proud of things that I create, ever. I just don't work like that. My brain always tells me that what I create could be better. Wasn't good enough. Whatever. It's just unfortunately how my brain works. I wish it didn't because it's kind of depressing, but whatever. I'm never, ever proud of myself, but I was actually really proud of this podcast episode and I really, really liked how it turned out. Is my whole entire toenail falling off? Holy shit, you guys. I just like looked down at my toenail and I was like, why is my nail polish chipping off like that? And I just grabbed my toe and pressed down on the nail and literally half of my toenail just fell off. How does that happen? How does that happen? Okay, sorry. What was I saying? Anyway, I recorded this podcast episode that I was really proud of. And I put it out. Everything went great. Then it was time to record the next episode, you know, because the show must go on, baby. And it was not working. Like, I could not come up with a topic, for one. Every time I'd sit down and try to record about a topic, I would freeze up. And it was because I felt this pressure to outdo myself, to record an even better episode. And that pressure made it so that I actually couldn't even record an episode at all. And the way that I ended up getting over it was just by taking a break. Honestly, I just like took a break for a few days and I just like didn't force myself to do it. And eventually, you know, I relaxed and I, you know, took the pressure off myself, but it took a few days to kind of rewire my thinking and to take the pressure off myself so that I could record a goddamn episode, you know what I'm saying? But this has also happened in my YouTube career. If you don't maybe know much about me besides my podcast, I make YouTube videos as well. And I remember when I first started making YouTube videos, I didn't care. I had nothing to lose. I was just making YouTube videos for fun as a fun hobby because why not? And I didn't care if my videos were good or bad. I mean, I obviously worked hard on them because I cared about them, but all of the motivation was internal. It was just within me because I wanted to create these videos and make them good for myself, but not because I had people watching me, not because I wanted to gain a crazy amount of followers. It was just because I was doing it for me. And so because of that, I didn't feel any pressure and I just was creative and I would do random different shit all the time. Like sometimes I would do a makeup video and then the next week I would do a haul video or something that was like a joke, like not a real haul video, but like, well, actually I did do that a few times, but whatever. I'd make like, it was like I was all over the map. I didn't feel like I had any constraints. I just made whatever type of video I wanted. And I had infinite ideas. I had so many ideas. I had so many types of videos I wanted to make. And I never felt pressure to make videos. I just wanted to do it. Then all of a sudden, people start following me. People start watching me. Whatever. I was able to keep that creative flow going for about a year, and then it just cracked. Like everything just fell apart. I had no creative inspiration anymore because I felt like I had peaked. I felt like, okay, I've made these videos that people really like, that I really like. I don't think that I can make anything better. Like, I think that I'm done. And I tried to push through that and I tried to continue to make videos anyway, but then those videos ended up being terrible. And people noticed and they were like, Emma, your videos fucking suck now. Your YouTube videos suck now. And I just felt like shit because I was like, damn, I was right. Like, I peaked. I'm done. But what I did that was so important was that I didn't give up. I didn't quit.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Imagine you find something that you love. Maybe you see your friend wearing a cool t-shirt and you're like, oh, I want that. And then they give you the website and you go onto it and it just doesn't feel quite right. That doesn't make you want to buy that t-shirt. A good website is crucial when it comes to selling your product or a brand. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. It's okay if you don't know the first thing about design. You can choose from professionally curated layouts with the Squarespace Blueprint. Squarespace even has AI that can help you kickstart or update your website copy. If you're selling products, Squarespace makes checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment methods. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial and save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain with the code Emma. This episode is brought to you by Bumble. When you want someone compatible, start the search on Bumble. It has the features you need to find exactly what you're looking for, like a 6-foot Aquarius who likes rock climbing and also wants kids, or a runner with a penchant for poetry who loves dogs and wants a serious connection. We know you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Download Bumble today.
But how I handled the situation actually taught me a really great lesson. Because here's what I did. I kept going and I kept pushing through it and I kept making videos and I kept going and I pushed through this creative dry spell. I just pushed through it. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to keep going and I'm just going to hope that I figure it out. And I'm just going to hope that people stick along with me as we go through this and like we'll see what happens. And I came out the other side I got my creativity back eventually. I stopped paying attention to my success and I started looking at my creative side of things and my success side of things as two different things. I stopped looking at them as being intertwined and I kind of separated them in my brain. In a way, I kind of became a little bit disassociated with my success. I kind of started to try to ignore it. I wasn't ungrateful. I wasn't doing anything like that, but I more just looked at it in a way where I looked at success as something that was great, but also as something that doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? I tried to look at it like that. I tried to look at it like, you know what? This is great and all, and this has made my life so much better and given me so many opportunities and connected me with so many great people. But at the same time, it's not a life or death thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, if one day it all goes away, I will survive and I will be fine and whatever, you know? And that kind of took the pressure off of me. I just let go of the pressure. And I knew that even if I created something great, something that was the best I'd ever made, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to ever create anything that good again. In fact, if I keep going and I keep pushing through, there's a great chance that I'll actually top that eventually. What I'm trying to say is the only time that you really ever truly fail is if you just completely give up. If you just keep going and you keep creating things, despite your success, lack of success, whatever it may be, inevitably you will find perfect harmony at some point, which in my opinion, perfect harmony is being able to be creative despite success. Wait, is that the right word? Why do I not know what the word despite means? Definition of despite? Yes, that was the right word. I knew what despite meant, but like, I wasn't sure if I was using it correctly because I don't think I've ever actually thought about what that word really means. So anyway, the moral of the story is, I think it's really unfortunate how much success can destroy your brain because it almost puts you in a box. It almost is like a prison in a way because the amount of pressure that starts to build, the amount of expectation, the amount of judgment that you start receiving, that all comes with the success. And I think that most people end up having a period where they can't handle it. And they might create a bad movie. They might create a bad TV show. They might create a bad song or a bad album or a bad podcast episode or a bad YouTube video or a few bad YouTube videos or a few bad podcasts or a few bad songs. Like, I think when creative people start to succeed, they lose themselves for a second. And I think that that's a normal part of the creative process in general. I think that's just a part of it. And I think that for people who maybe have creative jobs or have a creative hobby or whatever it may be, I think that this is very relatable. And I think it's very normal to have a period of time where after you succeed, you hit a low point. You know what I'm saying? I think the good thing, though, about pushing through it and not giving up is that as you continue, you learn to get better about being able to push through that pressure and also, you know, learning how to cope with the pressure of growing success while also simultaneously needing to be creative. I think that you figure out a way to balance the both the more that you continue and the more practice that you get. But I don't know. I mean, it's definitely food for thought. I think the goal too is to eventually figure out a way to use your success to make you more creative. By that I mean, like, when you become successful, you know, you have more opportunities. Maybe that means that you have a larger budget to create a project. Maybe that means that you have more connections. You know more people that could help you create your project, whatever it may be. That's the perfect way to use your success to be more creative. But the only way that you can do that is by learning to separate the pressure of success and creativity. And that's a really, really tough thing to do. Anyway, on that note, let's answer some questions. So I asked you guys to ask me questions about how success affects creativity on the Twitter at AG Podcast. Feel free to follow if you want to participate in future episodes. Let's get into it. Somebody said, do you think that as somebody gains fame, their level of creativity or originality decreases? Like they just become lazy knowing that whatever they do, they'll still have people that support them. I definitely do think that this happens sometimes. I think that sometimes success makes people feel comfortable, actually, maybe even too comfortable, because they feel like, okay, now I can just do whatever I want. I have the fan base. I have the money. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? And then they might have a tendency to just recreate what worked. So let's say they had a song that went viral. Let's say they had a YouTube video that went viral. Whatever it may be, they might just try to recreate that over and over again. Like, if they had a hit song, they might try to create a song that's really similar because they know that everybody likes it. So instead of being original and unique, they just kind of recreate what they've done 100 times before, you know? And they don't evolve, they don't grow. And I think that can be crippling because then they don't evolve. And when you don't evolve, you don't get better. And then people get bored and then people move on to the next thing. And that's that. I mean, the cookie does crumble that way for some people. Does that even make sense? I don't think I've ever said that. That's how the cookie crumbles. Anyway, I don't know why I said that. I sound like an old woman using like metaphors like that. But anyway, I do think that that definitely does happen to some people. But I also think that there's other people that are kind of the opposite. And they feel like they need to completely one-up the last thing that they created and make something completely new and fresh and different. And there's a chance that they might be able to do that successfully. And then there's a chance that that pressure might cripple them to a point where they actually cannot create anything. I think that it's very different for everybody, but yeah, I definitely think that that happens sometimes. Somebody said, has a viral video ever deterred you from making what you love and instead make you want to create what's popular? Honestly, for me, no, because I have never really liked to follow trends necessarily, just because I'm not good at it, really. I've always kind of done my own thing. I feel like, from what I can remember, I mean, I've definitely hopped onto some viral trends, but it's always been because I like thought it was fun and I wanted to take my own spin on it. Luckily, I have never changed my content to please anybody, really. I don't think I've ever done that, which I think is rare. And I don't know why I'm like that. I'm not saying that it's bad if you do that. You know what I'm saying? I think that that's like a normal response to becoming successful or going viral. You know, like after that happens to you, you know, you want to maintain it. So you'll do whatever it takes. For some reason, I have never done that. I don't know why, but I do think it's very common and it makes sense, you know? Somebody said, do you think people who are more creative are generally more successful? No, I actually do not think that. There are a lot of very creative people that never become successful. And, you know, I don't really know why that is. I think a part of success to a certain extent is luck. It's being in the right place at the right time. Do I think that that means that whoever got successful isn't creative? No, I don't. But I do think that some people are luckier than others, and some people are able to find success easier than others just because, again, that's how the cookie crumbles. That's how the universe decided to let the events happen. You know what I'm saying? I think that there are very many creative people that will never find success in their creative endeavors just because success kind of falls in your lap. You can't choose to be successful. It happens to you, you know? You can do everything in your power to succeed, but it's not always in your control. Somebody said, did success ever make you feel stuck in your life? I mean, I kind of talked about this earlier, but yes. And I think that the word stuck is a very good way to put it. I think that a big part of feeling stuck after succeeding is caused mainly by just, I mean, really what we're talking about here is creative burnout. And burnout can be caused by so many different things. It can be caused by the pressure of success. It can be caused by overworking yourself and not taking enough breaks. It can get caused from having difficulties in your personal life. I mean, there's like infinite routes to burnout, but I think that finding success, weirdly enough, can cause burnout itself, which is so weird. It's so funny and opposite. You would not expect success to cause burnout. You know what I'm saying? It almost doesn't even make sense. It sounds stupid almost, because you would think that, oh, if you get successful, then now you have this burst of energy because you just succeeded. And now it's going to be easy to keep creating stuff because you're going to be so excited and so motivated. Yet it's the complete opposite. You succeed and then immediately you feel almost doom, at least for me. I don't know. Some people might be different, but I know a lot of people feel the same that I do, where success almost, it's almost like kind of a nightmare. It's almost kind of depressing in a way, because you have to wake up tomorrow and go back to work. You have to wake up tomorrow and keep going. You can't just stop after you've succeeded. And I think that that's the depressing thing about it. And that's the thing that makes you feel burnt out, because you still have to keep going after you succeeded. It's not like, oh, I succeeded once, or I've hit a certain point in my success, now I can stop. No, you have to keep going. And that's what's depressing about it. You have to keep succeeding. Once you succeed, you have to continue to succeed. And that is so terrifying.
This episode is brought to you by Walmart. I love the springtime. It's a great chance to refresh your wardrobe, home, or beauty routine. And you know what? I think you'll find Walmart has some great style finds that won't break the bank. If you want to upgrade your style, they've got clothes. If you want to upgrade your home decor, pick up some fresh new pieces. You can upgrade everything from your fit to your furniture in-store or shop it all on the Walmart app. Shop the latest spring styles at walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending. Now trending, your style at Walmart.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? To be honest, my social battery is horrible right now. I am running on empty. I want to be alone for a whole week straight and see no one and talk to no one. I think I've overbooked myself a little bit. And so I'm feeling very drained. And hey, maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more time alone. Either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, because a full battery is the key to a full life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/anything today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/anything.
Somebody said, do you force yourself to continue creating content even when you don't feel creative or you feel stuck? Yes, I definitely do. I feel a pressure not to give up and not to stop. And I'm not sure if that's necessarily a good thing, because I think that there's two ways to handle this dilemma. Number one, you could take a break. Take a few months off, take a few weeks off, and reassess and kind of get your thoughts in order, put things into perspective, calm down a little bit, and try again later. You know, that's one way to handle it. I think that that might be the best way to handle it. And I don't usually handle these kinds of scenarios like that, but I do think that that might be the best way to do it. But on the other hand, you can keep going and you can keep creating, even if you're burnt out and you feel stuck and not creative and you feel like shit, you can just keep going and keep creating things anyway. That's what I've always done. And in a way, I think that that can be good, because if you force yourself to keep working and keep going, then eventually, you know, you're going to have a breakthrough. It's inevitable. But on the other hand, you know, you might be creating stuff that you're not proud of, and you might be creating stuff that people don't really like. And that can be really upsetting, and actually it might even make things worse. So ultimately, I think the best thing that you can do is to take a break and to step back. I need to take my own advice right now, because I don't usually do that. But if I ever find myself in a place again where I feel crippled by some form of success, I think what I'm going to do is just take a step back and process everything, put things into perspective, and then revisit it when I feel ready. I think that trying to work through it can do more harm than good. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the right way to handle it is. Maybe there is no right way. Somebody said, do you feel like success makes you not want to work as hard? You know, for me personally, no. It makes me feel like I need to work really hard. Like, it makes me feel this pressure to work harder and harder and harder and harder, which is not good, because then that causes burnout. So it's not very productive. But I've noticed that there are some people that feel like they can just kind of give up and stop working as hard once they succeed, because they're like, well, I did it, so now I can just sit back and relax and put in bare minimum effort and just say fuck it, you know? And I think that that's unfortunate, because I think that there's not maybe a lot of integrity in that. But at the same time, I also kind of get it, because once you have the money, once you have the fame, whatever it may be, that lasts for a little bit, you know? Even if you stop trying, you still have that for a little bit. It'll eventually fade away, for sure, but you're still going to have it for a little bit, even if you kind of take your foot off the gas, you know? Like, it's not like fame and money and praise just goes away overnight. It goes away kind of slowly. So you may think that you can take your foot off the gas and you can stop trying once you've succeeded and you'll be fine. And you might for a little bit, but eventually it's not going to work anymore. And I think that that's why, you know, viewing success as something that can go away tomorrow is not a bad way to look at it. You can't get all high and mighty once you've succeeded. You have to continue to work hard. And that's the hard thing about doing literally anything in life, is that you have to keep working hard, you know? Unfortunately, I think that we're all going to have to work hard for the rest of our lives in order to continue to succeed, in order to continue to get better at whatever it may be. In your personal life, in your work life, in your creative life, whatever it may be, unfortunately, in order to evolve, you have to work hard forever. And it's not easy. And I'm actually fucking tired just thinking about it. But that's also what makes life so great, is that, you know, we constantly have things to strive for. There's no, you know, there's no such thing as like hitting a peak of success or hitting a peak of anything. You know, you can always improve. You can always be a nicer person. You can always come up with a more creative idea. You can always work harder, you know, or work smarter, whatever it may be. You can always get better. There's no limit to how great you can be in any capacity. And that's a really beautiful thing, but it's also exhausting, you know? Somebody said, do you feel that your content has gone down / been affected at all since you've gained a large following? I think that it's gone through phases for me, like my personal content. I'm referring to my YouTube videos specifically. I had a period, I would say, for the first year or so of my YouTube channel where I felt proud of my videos. I felt like they were good. They were well received by the public, and everything was great. And then I had like maybe a year or so where things were a little shaky. It might have been like 7-8 months. And it was because the success burned me out. I got burnt out. I felt tremendous amounts of pressure to keep it up, and I couldn't handle it. And so my content suffered a lot, and I've actually deleted a lot of those videos because I just am not proud of them and I don't feel like they represent me, and I just hate them, if I'm being brutally honest. And they weren't received that well. There were some people that liked them and a lot, you know, whatever, but there were also a decent amount of people that were like, no, this is not what we signed up for. We don't like this. And I think that's a valid criticism, because I think that my content was suffering at the time because I was so consumed by the pressure of needing to continue to get better and better and better and better and to continue to create every week, every week, every week. And, you know, it took me a while to figure it out and to get back to a place where I feel like I'm proud of what I'm doing. And I mean, not proud. Okay. See, proud, it's funny because I'm never proud of what I make, but it's more that I'm satisfied, if that makes sense. Unfortunately, I have imposter syndrome, and which is where you don't believe that you deserve success or deserve praise, or I've talked about imposter syndrome before on this podcast, but anyway, I feel like I'm at a place now where I feel satisfied with what I'm creating. And I've felt like that for probably the past year, and I felt really good, and maybe even past 2 years or so. I don't know. I don't even remember the timeline. Either way, I got out of it, but it took a while. I had to re-find my footing. And, you know, I'm grateful for all of you who have stuck around through all the ups and downs. Somebody said, if You created something and it performed badly. Would that affect you? See, weirdly enough, no. I feel like if I create something that I'm really proud of, that's enough for me to feel good, because I rarely feel truly proud of something that I make. So if I do feel that feeling, I don't care how it does, because just the mere fact that I feel proud blows my own fucking mind. So I'm usually thrilled about that. It's when I'm simply satisfied by something that I'm more critical of how it's received. You know, as we've been talking about this, I feel like there's actually a formula for this whole scenario. Step one, you have zero fame, zero success, but you have a creative idea, and then you create it. Step two, you put it out into the world and it succeeds. You feel excitement, you feel proud, you feel great. Step three, it's time to create the next thing. The pressure hits and you crumble. Step four, you either take a break or you create something that sucks. Step five, you come out of the other side and you learn to find a balance between success and creativity, and you figure out a way to let your success either inspire your creativity or give you more opportunities to be creative, or you just learn how to block out success completely and return to step one, where you will hopefully remain, which is being creative with no pressure. I hope that made sense, but that's what I think the final verdict is. Like, I think that's the final formula, and that's kind of the best way that I can explain it. But anyway, that's enough for today. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I hope that anything that I said made sense. Lord knows, I don't know. But I really appreciate you guys listening today. If you like this episode and you like Anything Goes, leave Anything Goes a review on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate it. I read them every time before I start recording an episode, and it makes me feel so warm inside, and it makes me feel really good, which is actually kind of ironic, because we're literally talking about how, like, success or praise, you know, can make you feel unmotivated and make you feel trapped. Yet I read podcast reviews before I start recording. So that is quite ironic, but actually it makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. It has a great effect on me. So listen, maybe I have it all figured out. Maybe I figured out my own personal balance, because anyway, fuck, we need to end this episode. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to Anything Goes on any of the platforms that you listen to podcasts. Follow the Twitter at AG Podcast to keep up and participate in the episodes sometimes. And that's all I got today, guys. I love you all. Thank you for listening. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. I just ended that like it was a phone call. Okay, bye. Like, what the fuck? Why did I end it like that?